On this show, one investor has consistently earned a reputation for asking the tough questions, Michael Hyatt. But today's founder reveals a different side to Michael. Less of the human lie detector, more of the happy Canadian buried deep inside. Maybe it's because she's from Canada too, or perhaps because this business has so much going for it that even Michael can't find a bone to pick. What could possibly be going on that has Michael Hyatt swinging from the chandelier? From Gimlet, this is The Pitch. I'm Josh Muccio. Today's investors are...
I'm Phil Nadeau.
Phil's companies have sold for hundreds of millions of dollars. Now he manages 4Front Venture Partners, one of the largest syndicates on AngelList.
I'm Michael Hyatt.
Michael built and sold 2 software companies for over $500 million. And now he invests for himself.
I'm Sarah Downey.
Sarah's a partner at Accomplice, where they've invested $600 million in over 200 startups so far. One example is a company called DraftKings.
I'm Charles Hudson.
Charles started Precursor Ventures, where he's invested $20 million in over 100 startups to date. The pitch for Virtual Gurus will begin in just a moment. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
All right, here we go.
Hello.
Hello. Are you?
Hi. I'm Bobby.
I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you.
Bobby.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Michael, nice to meet you. From Canada.
Canada, that's right.
Yeah.
Where all the nice people live.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, hello. I'm Bobby, the founder and CEO of Virtual Gurus. A few years ago, I worked in oil and gas, just like everybody else in Alberta. And then a few years ago, I got laid off, just like everybody else in Alberta. So when 50,000 administrators were running around town trying to find work, my chances of finding work were very slim. And the bank of mom was getting super, super low. So I started looking online and I came across an article that read the gig economy. And I was thinking, holy shit, I could probably do that.
There are dozens of marketplaces for people who want to do office work in the gig economy. There's Zirtual, Upwork, Fiverr. Heck, there are even ones literally called freelancer.com and people per hour.
So I looked online, started really doing my profiles. And next thing you know, I had to actually start bidding as low as $2 an hour just to get a simple task. And I was thinking, this is crap. How am I actually going to make a living off of this?
That's when Bobby decided to solve the problem herself. She figured it would be better if she built a marketplace where quality virtual assistants could get work for a guaranteed rate.
We leverage human assistance via an AI bot and an algorithm. You could actually look for, I want administration, I want sales, social media, general admin. And so then you come in and the algorithm actually matches that person that best suits you. So all of our virtual assistants are North American. And we have over 160 active working ones with 6,000 in our database that have already been pre-vetted. And we've launched 2.5 years ago and our current annual recurring revenue is 1.3 million.
Wow, good for you. And what do you take of the 1.3?
So right now we're almost break even.
Wow.
So I'm here raising $300,000 to top off my 1.35 million raise.
So is Zirtual like a competitor to you guys?
Similar to Zirtual, a little bit different is that Zirtual provides general admin. We kind of go that step and beyond. We're more exec admin. So we realized that one of the disconnects was somebody wants to come and kind of have a remote team. So with us, they can build a remote team. So they can say, I want a bookkeeper, I want a realtor assistant, and then I want a social media marketer person. And they build the team, and that team all runs underneath one subscription model.
You mentioned vetting and qualification. Like, what do you look for or what do you screen for on the service provider side?
So we vet for a few things. We do an interview process with our people in the office, and we start getting on the call with them. We do the check on their backgrounds. And then we give them a test task now, and we push them through the system. If they can't actually get through our project system, get to the timer, get all of that, we know that they need to go through coaching.
But how do you vet that many people? You know, I invested in a company called Ideal.com, and they literally have AI that sits in front that actually goes through 15,000 resumes.
That's the goal. That is the
goal. Actually vets, you need almost AI to get to your AI.
And that is 100% the goal. So
it sounds really like you're doing it very manually now. You're talking to them on the phone.
Manually talking on the phone, they fill out a separate form, and then from there they go through the Virtual Gurus Academy, where they do have to pay for courses from $30 to $90 a course. Now, they don't all go through. We kind of speed
track. Walk us through those courses. What am I doing in that course?
How to work as a virtual assistant for, like, virtual assistant freelancing courses.
Is it like an online?
Yeah, all online stuff. So it's essentially like a lynda.com. But
how long does it take me to do that course?
Well, there's 60 courses in there, so you can do one.
You developed all of them?
Five. Yes, we did. Because even some of our competitors have actually been sending people to do or go through our academy. So we've had actually Zirtual send a few.
Mm. What's the most common request you have?
Right now is, kind of surprisingly, real estate assistants, medical legal assistants, and IT.
So someone in the real estate world wants someone to help them open up and
their
lock
listings,
up.
Call, pre-vet. There are people set appointments.
And what
for
do people
them.
Get paid for that job?
So we charge the client $35 an hour, and then we pay the VA anywhere from $18 to $22 an hour.
Generally speaking, how are you marketing?
Yeah, so that's the thing. We're not marketing right now. It's just been word of mouth by all the articles that have gone out about me being an Indigenous person and being a woman-led tech company in Canada. People are like, did you hear
it's
about this company?
It's just word of mouth?
Yeah. A little bit of marketing, a lot of online presence, though, like online presence, social media. We're all over. If you go, I hate to say it, but you go to Google and type in Bobby Reset, it's pages and pages. So all of that, and like Forbes did a thing on us, and that stuff really kind of gave us a big oomph, right? We are spending about $2,500 on a light ad spend. I'm scared to crank up the tabs because we can't hardly keep up right now.
Yeah.
Bobby's saying she has way more companies demanding VAs than she has VAs to supply them with. While this is a great problem to have, that doesn't mean it's an easy solve. It's simple to keep quality high when it's just a few customers. It's considerably harder once you crank up the taps, which is a scary thought to both Bobby and the investors. That's coming up after the break.
This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. We talk to a lot of entrepreneurs on this show, and one thread that connects them all, they're not just pitching their business, they're pitching themselves. Because small business owners know that their business is more than just a company, it's their whole life. And State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, and they know what it takes. They can help you choose personalized policies that fit your budget. That's the personal touch. That's small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Welcome back. Bobby Reset is starting to gain momentum in her pitch for Virtual Gurus. And one investor seems particularly struck by her, Michael Hyatt.
Well, I think it's just so impressive that a lot of people may not know this, but Alberta has been hit incredibly hard with the downturn of oil and gas. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely impressive what you've done. I mean, coming out of trying to find a job at $2 an hour and you couldn't get a job, so you built your own business. This is classically a great entrepreneur move. So good on you. I'm very impressed with what you've built so far.
Thank you. Pretty much bootstrapped, right? So right. I've only done a small raise of $200,000 in 2016 before I launched. So right now we've been fully bootstrapped.
And how much you want to raise? $1.2 million, you said?
$1.35 million.
Okay. At what valuation?
You're going to laugh at this, Canadian. You might not, but you might. Our valuation's at $3
million. Okay.
Yeah. Good deal. And so pretty good price.
It's a pretty good deal. A company this size out in Silicon Valley could easily go for 2 to 3 times that. And check out this cherry on top. Her newest product was actually funded by the Canadian government, an app on Slack called Ask Betty.
Ask Betty was fully funded by IRAP, which is it's kind of like a government funding for tech. And so that's all good and ready to go.
Do you have any other funding, non-dilutive, coming in? Any other stuff from the government?
So we're looking, so IRAP has got us. Western Diversification, we're on the first mailing list to get that once they release it.
Yeah.
And so they want to match the million for a million.
Wow.
Not only has Bobby's story quite literally wowed Michael, but her valuation is starting to sound like a steal because of that tasty government money. When investors put their money in, they get their very own slice of the company pie. But when government money comes in, at least in this case, they got zero slices of this virtually delicious pie, which means there's more pie left for Bobby and her investors. You don't have to be a guru to know how this sweetens the deal for the five investors in the room. But there are some things that are still worrying to investors, namely the competition. Here's Phil.
I know there are other virtual assistant companies, and I know that there are lots of freelance networks and marketplaces, and it seems like you're competing with both of those. And I just, you know, I'm not really getting that there's a true differentiation here, and I want to understand that.
Definitely. We pre-vet the VAs, so then we match them based on the algorithm. And our algorithm matching is at a 95% success rate. With that, the number one thing that actually helps us is they love that our VAs are onshore. A lot of the majority of the companies out there are offshore, or they're, and I'm saying this in the nicest way, they're not the most quality VAs. So we have a lot of oil and gas workers that have been laid off. We have a lot of single stay-at-home moms who can't afford to go back to work. And so we have a lot of people that have years of admin experience.
So when I compare you to other virtual assistant companies or to Upwork or whatever, you're higher quality, and that's what's setting you apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say definitely that's one of them for
What's
sure.
your biggest challenge right now?
Biggest challenge right now would have to be with dealing with the demand. So we're kind of struggling with keeping up with the amount of inbound sales. So right now we're getting around 200 to 400 inbound requests.
From companies who need someone right away.
Yeah. So I only have 7 office staff right now that are actually the full operations of the whole company. So the first thing I'm going to do is I need to hire a COO, because I am currently COO, CTO, CEO, all of it, right? Secondly is I really want to be able to put some more money into the academy.
When you said you're CEO, CTO, COO, I want to dig into that, because if you're doing all those things, that is really impressive. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you need to definitely offload some of that. But so are you technical? Like, did you build some of the platform or?
No, I'm more of the visionary behind that. So I'm really, really good at delegating and managing.
That's a skill. It's a great skill for someone who builds a virtual assistant company too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I love when a business can't keep up with demand on sales. Yeah. So how many more people do we have to add in Calgary, which is not that expensive right now, to your company to pick up that slack?
And when I close this round, I want to bring on 10. Obviously, I'll do it in staggered, but I want to have the COO first.
An operating executive.
Yeah, because to be honest, I want to keep remaining being the face of the business. I don't want to keep being the visionary behind it.
Yeah.
And a CEO can help us with that operations, because I'm always traveling. Our people are always wanting me out there. I'm getting requests to speak at a lot of stuff. And I really just want to remain being the face, because that's helped our growth.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's very self-aware and smart to say that. And yeah, I think we see a lot of CEOs that are like, I have to do everything. And mm-hmm. they have this like ego that won't let them give up those things that frankly, mm-hmm. they aren't the best use of their time. I think you're a great evangelist, and it's very smart to carve out time for you to continue to do that.
Those seven, eight people you're going to hire, what are they going to be doing to pick up the slack? You have a lot of inbound coming in, you can't get to them. That's what you're saying. But how does hiring more people get to them?
Well, then we can just bring in more that we can manage on the internal side. We do what we call a strategy call with them, because we want them to feel heard. One of the main issues that we ran into is they didn't feel heard and their VAs weren't listening. So we do a strategy call in the office with them.
Sorry, with the clients?
With the clients, yeah.
But is it a physical matching between company over here in California needs that dialer and mom here, as you said, in Alberta? How did you find this mom here when you have 15,000 or 17,000? Like, mm-hmm. are we just ignoring so many thousands of resumes because we can't get to them? Do we need it to build AI over here?
We need to. And I mean, I'm the first to say, like, I mean, with the fact that we've been bootstrapped with only 200,000, I had to kind of pick and choose which my main things of building.
But if you could add AI here that could peel through those 17,000 resumes and tell you these three would be great, would that be good?
Absolutely.
That's what you need?
Yep.
Okay.
I've had a virtual assistant. I've had three virtual assistants in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the ones that have worked for exactly the reasons that you've outlined, which are that you make sure the client has reasonable expectations mm-hmm. and knows how to work with a VA, and you pick high quality people. Mm-hmm. The challenge I have, though, is I've never been able to figure out how do you use technology to make this better. Like, I just don't know how these kinds of businesses, even when they're successful, become the kinds of ones where technology gives you a ton of leverage. Mm-hmm. So this is probably one of the hardest passes I've had to do, because I like everything about what you said. I like you, your energy, mm-hmm. and I think you have the right insights. This is just a business where I struggle to see mm-hmm. how technology can give you the kind of leverage I want.
I think that's a really good point, because it sounded like from what you're pitching that a lot of the process is manual, and which is great. Like, spending time with the client on the phone to understand their needs, I mean, that's what you want as a client, mm-hmm. right? And that's what Charles was alluding to. That's perfectly in line. But it's time-consuming. It's manual and hard to scale while bringing costs down. My only concern here is product differentiation. I mean, that's my main thing. I get what you're saying about higher quality being your differentiator, but I guess I have some scar tissue because I was an early investor in Zirtual and didn't do well. But that's my big concern. And, you know, as I said, you're sort of bumping up against not only VAs, but freelance networks mm-hmm. too, because by providing specialized VAs, then the other option is I can just go get one online from an Upwork or that kind of thing. So that's where I'm struggling with this. So I think for me, I'm going to have to pass.
Appreciate that.
Charles and Phil are out because Bobby's success so far is based on the human touch, and they just don't see how tech is going to scale all those personal phone calls. I wonder, though, what Michael's thinking.
Listen, I would like to invest. I think this is one of the most humble, smart, and best pitches I've seen in a long time on this show. The valuation's reasonable. I love what you're doing. Everything says that you have a huge supply of clients. But I'd be in for 25 to 50,000.
Nice, that's great. Absolutely.
I'm just where you guys are with, like, I think on if there's a spectrum, on one side you have like the Zirtuals and the Upworks, and actually mm-hmm. maybe a couple of years ago I was doing a search for a virtual executive assistant, mm-hmm. and I was like, who the hell is going to solve this problem?
Yeah.
Because these are not it. There isn't that specialty and that quality level. Mm-hmm. But then I think on the other side, you've got like your Amazon Mechanical Turks and kind of like these task-based things mm-hmm. that are chipping away. And in the center is you. I think you can bring in tech. I just don't know if it will necessarily make it better in this situation. Mm-hmm. It's such a good price, and you are such a f***ing rock star.
Like, Sarah, if she had a cat, you would be in.
Do you have a cat?
Yeah.
Do you have a cat?
I totally have a cat. That's why Betty's named
Tell
Betty.
Her about your cat. Tell her about your cats. I'm serious.
Michael's working for you
already.
Well,
I mean, look, you've got cats and tattoos.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in.
Oh, yes.
I'm in for 25K as an angel. I'd also love to talk to and understand, you know, some of the people on the platform who are working as VAs and understand their experience, but like, you're just the total package.
Thank you.
This is a winner chicken dinner. I'm pumped about this one. Wow, we're fantastic. It's thank awesome. You for coming
I
in today.
Appreciate that.
My definitely. Favorite pitch, Bobby. Thank you for
awesome.
Coming in.
From unemployed assistant to raising 50K from Michael Hyatt and Sarah Downey, Bobby is riding high on her trip south of the border, and Michael is loving it. But it's not just Bobby and the business that he loves.
Guys,
that is a really
guys, this
great
is,
story.
I just want to tell you what you just saw. What you just saw is from a math point of view, the lowest valuation with the most protective capital, with the most funding, with the most non-dilutive funding, with the most support. This woman here has already gotten 10 times to 100 times the social media of anybody else because of what she's pulled off in the worst economy. She's an Indigenous Canadian who is going to get 100 times the push, and she deserves it. This is a story that we cannot mimic anywhere else.
That's just such an entrepreneur.
And I love the fact there's competition.
Kick-ass
and she is helping 17,000 people that have no jobs, have to stay at home.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how bad it is. This is, I love everything about it.
Yeah.
All right, so Michael loves it. But Charles wasn't having it. Both he and Phil had concerns that this company was going to have a tough time scaling up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 1 to 2x multiple on, because I think it's going to look like a services business for its entirety. And it's going to look like a really profitable one, but those are 1 to 2x multiple businesses.
Yeah. So that's why you didn't invest, or because you don't see the tech?
Without tech, you can't get out of that trap.
I think she'll build the
Michael
tech.
Michael thinks that they do.
I don't
have
think
tech.
She will.
I think she'll build the tech.
I don't think she can build tech and maintain the same quality of experience.
Right.
As someone who, and maybe I know too much because I've gone through.
She's forever tethered to the manual process
Sometimes you can have too much experience as a customer with a product, and I've used 4 different VA. The more automated the experience, the shittier the service was for me as a customer. The happiest I've been is I have a VA. The VA has a manager. I talk to her manager once a quarter who checks in and says, hey, how's everything? You could do it with a form. Yeah, form's not the same thing as actually talking to another human about the performance of the person who's supporting you. And so this feels like one of those businesses. I think it's done. Like McKinsey is not a tech. McKinsey uses tech. But McKinsey sells labor by the hour.
It's a service company.
Yeah, it's a service company.
Okay, so let's talk about your 1 to 2X. Let's say I get out at 2X, which is very reasonable, right?
Yeah.
This revenue is going to get to 20 million and getting in at 2.5. Think about it. It's one of the best VC returns you'd have.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like, it's not a venture scale profile, but it's a great
business.
Angel
very
investment.
Good business. Yeah. Can we sing the Canadian National Anthem together?
We can. We should.
Okay.
I only know that because of South Park.
No. I only know it because of hockey games.
That's right.
After the break, Sarah and Michael take the next step. But Bobby says one little thing that could throw off the whole deal. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. Small business owners know that it's not just business, it's personal. Your business is your life, and State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, so they know what it takes. They can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. And they live and work in your community. So you're not just getting an insurance plan, you're getting that personal touch. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Welcome back. When Bobby left the room with 50K, an investment from Sarah Downey and Michael Hyatt, she was feeling pretty good. And then a few days later, after she arrived home in Alberta, the three of them jumped on a call.
Michael Hyatt, he's right off the bat, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I had to be quick thinking and on top of my toes and really, really be able to come up with the rebuttals of what can we do. I'll be honest, I felt like it didn't go well. I ended the call thinking for sure they are not in.
So let's talk about Sarah. So she sent you an email a day or two after the call. And she called out one moment in particular. She says, one moment on the call sums it all up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Saying a $50 million outcome would be amazing. And Sarah was like, you know, you saying that a $50 million outcome would be amazing is not what I want to hear as an investor. The deal profiles I like and know best are $1 billion plus outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She ended up backing out the next day.
Do you think what they were saying was like, it felt like you didn't want to grow to be a really, really huge company. Like that wasn't mm-hmm. in your plan for the company.
No. And it was funny though, because after we got off the call, my corporate strategist was on the call with us and he had said that that's probably what it came off as.
Oh, really?
And yeah. So I was like, oh man, you know, rookie CEO mistake number 20 billion. but I want to take this like honestly as far as we could possibly go. And I try to be humble and I try not to overpromise because I've learned my lesson in the past from overpromising.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come off as one of those startups who, inexperienced founder who I could say we could do this and, you know, we can't kind of a thing.
Now, Michael Hyatt, on the other hand, after that call, actually, I think just a couple days ago, he made you an offer.
So I was really surprised to hear from him. And I was,
sorely expecting that it was going to be a no and why. And he wrote a point for points of the pain points of what he thinks that we need to focus on. And then he said he would like to come in as an advisor and for $25,000 on this round.
So he went through in an email and described all the things he didn't like about your business and then offered to invest?
Yeah.
Why did he do that? That seems odd.
It's odd, but I think he really liked who I was and how I was and how I approached this and how I bootstrapped it to over $1.3 million in recurring revenue. And I think he sees that there's a lot of potential and that I'm very coachable. Because I did offer him a board seat, and he's coming back at an advisor seat, which I think is actually better.
You offered him a board seat, and then he came back and said, I want an advisory seat on the board? What does that mean exactly? What's the difference?
He's a busy guy. I'm pretty sure he's on a lot of boards, and I'm pretty sure that he is wanted on a lot of boards. So he came back to be a possible advisor. I gladly accept that because I know that for a fact I can learn a lot from him. So yeah, I'm accepting his offer. So he's already got the terms and he's in and we've closed the round.
And you closed how much money?
$1.2 million.
Well, that's great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're oversubscribed, but it's a good amount, and we're ready to literally hit this year running. We're ready to rock, and we're already implementing some of the stuff that he suggested.
And then, just when we thought the deal was done and the papers signed, we heard from Bobby. The papers, they were not signed. So we jumped on the phone.
After we agreed and we counted him in on the close and we were going for the close, he drops like this advisor agreement. And so my counsel read it over and they were like, don't sign this.
According to Bobby, Michael's lawyer asked her to draft up a resolution on the side. And that resolution would need signatures from all of Bobby's previous investors right away.
So they could sign it before we close the deal so we don't have to worry about the new shareholders. And I'm like, well, I can't go into a new agreement with all these shareholders giving me money and already start off in a dishonest way. So when I read that email and my lawyers and then my corporate strategist, we took it to the board and we just decided that it probably isn't the best idea.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like this big legal like document that my lawyers essentially picked apart, but there's so much wrong with it. And to be honest, like if he was coming in at 200 or 250 or something like that, then yeah. I would have totally educated and thought, okay, you know what, like this is probably good because he's coming in as, you know, a higher investor. But 25,000, I don't think that it would have been worth it.
You don't need the money. Like there's other people willing to give you money without as many hoops that you have to jump through.
Yeah. And so I followed my counsel's advice and was like, don't move forward with him. So
yeah,
I wanted him and I wanted his caliber for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you think have you ever confronted Michael and said like, what's the deal with this lawyer? He's killing this deal.
No, I figured I'm going to wait until everything was fully closed and he wants to go for coffee in April. So I'm going to go for coffee with him, absolutely, because he deserves to know why I fully pulled out.
What do you take away from this whole experience?
You know, this whole year has been such a humbling experience for me, trying understanding and knowing how investors tick. Every single one of them tick totally differently.
Mm.
It's like getting a chess with them. And now that I know how to do it, I can honestly say that I'll probably be able to close my second round super easy. This one took a little bit longer than, you know, but I'm a rookie at it.
You can go forward next time just a little bit wiser.
Totally, totally. I learned a lot from it.
The Pitch is hosted by me, Josh Muccio, produced by Kareem Maddox and Heather Rogers. We're edited by Sarah Saracen. Theme music by The Musemaker, original compositions from Breakmaster Cylinder, So Wiley, and The Musemaker were mixed by Enoch Kim. Lisa Muccio planned the recording of this pitch. And as a reminder, no offer to invest is being made to or solicited from the listening audience on today's show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with a brand new episode next week. And be sure to follow The Pitch on Spotify so you don't miss it.
This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.